Let's just first of all bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us safely to this place this morning. We thank you that we're able to gather here in warmth and comfort to offer you our worship and our praise. We thank you for all who have taken part in our service this morning. And we pray, Lord, that it would all be acceptable to you. But we do pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, as we've sung praises to you, as we've listened to your word read, and now your word proclaimed, may we take it away with us and may it be a light to our path in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm loud. Well, first of all, good morning. It's nice to see you all. Gareth, thank you very much for inviting me along, and to Melanie for the lovely warm welcome. She did mention there at the beginning that I had said to forget about the Drum Gaff, Drum Ballyrooney, Clonduff and Drum Gulen bit, because she said you'd never heard of it. Well, I'll be honest with you, before about February this year, I'd never heard of them either. So that's nothing new. Where is it? Was Rath Fryland and Ballyward is really the two churches. There were four at a time. Clonduff, Drum Ballyrooney, Drum Gulen and Drum Gaff. Drum Gaff is Rath Fryland. Drum Gulen is Ballyward, which is on the road to Castle Wellan. You probably pass it if you're going towards Newcastle. A church sits on the corner on the side of the road. And the other one is Clonduff, which is Hilltown Church, which is now closed, and Drum Ballyrooney, which is on the road between Rathfryland and Banbridge, is now the Bronte Centre, run by the council. It closed, I think, way back maybe in the 80s, 70s or 80s, but we're down to two churches. But it's lovely to be here with you this morning. This is not actually the first time I've been here, because before I went to Rathfryland and Ballyward, I was the rector of Milltown Parish, which is at the Birches, which is just outside Portadown, down the motorway, junction 12, turn off to your right, and before you hit the water of Loch Ney, you come to Milltown Parish. But you had I think it was a cross-links convention here one evening some years ago, and our praise group called Corban came over and sang at that service. We had a great night then. So it's lovely to be back. It's a marvellous building, this. Absolutely marvellous building. And it is a credit to the parish that they can first of all, build something like this. But it's even greater credit that you can fill it, which is important as well. It's about filling the church. A ministry, have we heard of it during the week, of outreach. It isn't just about what happens in here. And the rector's job is not about mission to the world. The rector's job is to empower you to go out and be missionaries to the world. So we learn something new, Gareth, all the time, don't we? But what about Father Abraham? Well, as Levi said, he had a son late on in years, so it just goes to prove there was life in the old dog yet. At 100 years of age, and his wife was in her 90s, they had a child. But that came about because it was something that God had promised that would happen, and God is faithful. He always keeps his promises. But I want to start this morning, and I'm very conscious that the one in Marilyn could be a bit late this morning. But I want to start off a little story about a farmer. And a farmer was out in the fields one day in his tractor, out in the country. And the particular fields that he worked in, a bit like my back garden in Rathfryland, full of rabbits. It's absolutely swarming with rabbits. You wake up in the morning, you look out the window, and there's maybe a dozen or 18 rabbits swarming around the garden. And one of the problems with rabbits is that they make burrows, holes in the ground. And this is what this farmer was faced with. Holes in the ground everywhere. And he went out to plough the field, and as he was going down, the wheel of the tractor hit one of these burrows, and the ground collapsed under him. The tractor tipped over, and he managed to jump off it before it hit the ground, and he was okay. So he went home, and he told his wife all about this. And she looked at him, and being a loving, devoted, caring wife, she said, "Oh, thank goodness you're safe. The Lord sure was with you." And he looked at her and he said, "Yes, but if he'd been with me, boy, would he got a rough ride this morning." So, Abraham is what we're talking about this morning. And that little song tells about Father Abraham, the father of many nations. God promised to him that he would be the father of many nations. And he actually, he's human, like we are. And when he was given that promise, Abraham, I'm sure, wondered as years went on and on and on and on, he got older and his wife got older, that this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. I look at the age of me now. I look at the age of Sarah, my wife. How can we possibly have a child in our late years? But then it happened. It happened because God said it would happen. And in that passage which was read for us this morning, it talked about the Lord will provide. And the Lord will provide. The Lord provided a child for Abraham and Sarah. It didn't matter what age they were. He provided for them. And why did he provide for them? Because he was faithful. Abraham was a faithful man. As Levi was saying, he came from the place called Ur and the Chaldeans, and he traveled right across into foreign land. He gave up everything that he had. We believe he came from a reasonably well-to-do family. He left all of that behind him, and he headed out into the unknown. Why? Because God told him to. He was faithful to God. He believed in his God. And he was faithful and prepared to go with them. But then we know that eventually Abraham and Sarah had a child. That child was called Isaac. Now you can imagine a man and woman in senior years, okay, when they were old, a bit like Gareth, and they have a child. You can imagine how they would dote on that child. The answer to prayers, dreams come true. They loved him dearly. They probably spoiled him rotten and doted on him. But then, something strange happens. Something strange happens. God tells him to go and take his one and only son. Take him onto a mountain, to a place where he will define, and he's to make him as a sacrifice. Now imagine how he must have felt. How would you feel? How would you feel if your one and only child that came to you in later life and God said, do you want to go out and kill your child? You go, oh, no, hold on a wee second. No way. Definitely not. I'm misreading this. This is not God speaking. This is the devil speaking to me. All these excuses would come through your head and you could be forgiven for saying, right, if this is what he wants, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And he maybe packed up his bags and his wife and his child and he would head it off somewhere. But does that not remind you of somebody else who did that and got caught up on a ship because he didn't go where God wanted him to? But that didn't come into Abraham's thinking. He loved his God. He was faithful to his God. And he did exactly what he was told. And then we have that lovely story of how they took a couple of servants with them. And they headed off to Mount Moriah. And they had the sticks with them. And they had the fire with them. But his son Isaac says to him, Daddy, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the animal for the burnt offering? And instead of saying to him, well, it's you, son, I'm going to set you on fire, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to burn you, he said, the Lord will provide. And the Lord did provide. The Lord did provide. But there are a number of things that we can take out of this passage. And I firmly believe that if you look at the actual wording of that, that Abraham, when he got to the bottom of Mount Moriah, he said to his servants, you wait here while my son and I go over there to worship. And then it goes on and it says, and we will come back. We will come back. Not I will come back, but we. So in that statement, we can deduce, I hope that I'm right in saying this, that Abraham firmly believed that while God had told him to do this, he knew in his heart that both he and his son would survive and come back, that God would provide. And as the story develops, we learn how he built the sacrifice, he put the wood on it, he tied his son, he bound him, and he laid him on top of it, and he had the knife in one hand, and he had the burning coal to set the wood on fire in the other hand, and he's about to do it, and he's probably thinking to himself, Lord, say something, please, hurry up. I mean, it's going to take me all of 2 seconds to do that. And just at the last minute, we're told an angel of the Lord said, Abraham, do not touch him. I now know that you love God, and that you're faithful to him, and that you will obey him no matter what. And then we read how there was a ram there in the caught, his horns were caught in a bush. And they were able to go and get that, and they sacrificed that to God. You know, I wonder how faithful we are in many things. Do we set our God up as an idol just to worship on a Sunday morning? Or do we truly believe that God is there and there's a purpose for each and all of our lives? And that if we want to work out that purpose in the way that God wants us, then we've got to be faithful, we've got to believe, we've got to go and do what He says, no matter what we think. There's a lovely story about some missionaries who one time were going out to Africa, and they thought that they would provide something that would help these natives develop the ground around them. And before they arrived, they flew over the area in a plane, and they chucked out a beautiful, shiny new plow on a parachute. And this landed on the ground. And they thought to themselves, well, with this implement, this piece of modern technology, they will be able to make more of the land that's there. They'll be able to grow crops. They'll be able to feed themselves better. And everything will be great for them. So eventually they arrived in the area. And they were surprised at what they found. Instead of finding ploughed fields and crops growing in abundance, they found that these natives had taken this strange-looking implement and had built a plinth for it, a raised area, and had set the plough up on top of it. And they were actually bowing down and worshipping this because this thing had fallen out of the sky to them. What is this that God has sent to us? They didn't know what it was. They didn't know how to use it. And do we do that with our God? Do we set Him up here and worship Him? But we don't know what He's there for and what He can do for us if we put our trust and our faith in Him. Is that the way we live our lives? Or do we listen? Do we listen to that still, small voice that God's talking to us? And He's telling us something. And perhaps when we hear it, we say, is that my imagination? Is this me thinking? But you know, in all things, when we hear that little still voice talking, we need to go and test it. And if it's what God wants, it'll happen. But if it isn't, it won't happen. It most certainly will not happen. No matter how much we think it should, if it's not God's will, it won't happen. We have got to have faith. Abraham is a wonderful character of faith. Faith from leaving his home and his family. Faith going out into a wilderness. All of that. He had faith in God that he would have a son, and then God says, kill that son. And I'm sure the thought came into his head as well, well, you said I was going to be the father of many nations, so how, if my only offspring, my one son, you want me to kill, how can your promise be fulfilled? But he still, unknowing, uncertain, not sure, he still went forward through faith and trust in God. I want to finish with another little story this morning, which I hope will give an example of our faith, or perhaps in this one, our lack of faith. There's a story that was set way, way back, years and years and years ago, way back in, if I can just get the year here, it was in 1958. Way back in 1958, a very famous aircraft manufacturer by the name of Boeing introduced the first commercial jetliner into the skies. Up to that time, all the planes were what they call turboprops, had propellers. We still have a few of them today. If you go up to the city airport, you'll see them. But in those days, they were all like that. And in one of these flights, there was a man sitting on this aircraft, and he got talking to the gentleman beside him. And it turned out the man beside him was actually one of the engineers that had been involved in the developing of this new jet aircraft. And he was so enthusiastic as he explained about the testing that had done on these new jet engines, how powerful they were, how quick this plane would fly, and how quick we would get from one place to another, journey times would be cut down. And he was so enthusiastic that this man thought, this is absolutely wonderful. And he turned to him and he said, well, have you flown in this plane? And the man looked at him and says, well, no, not yet. I think I'll give it a few years just to see how it goes first before I venture onto it. He knew the technology. He'd been involved in it, but at the end of the day, he didn't have the faith. He didn't have the faith to actually get into this plane and fly out. He decided, for a wee while, we'll let others do it and we'll see how it goes. You know, sometimes our faith can be a bit like that. We know all about it. We know what we should be doing. We know the advantages of it, but I'll give it a wee while yet. I'll give it a wee while yet. Well, let me tell you, friends, that wee while yet might never come. When none of us know, Roberta, Gareth and I are now heading off to Marilyn. We mightn't make it. We don't know. You're going for tea and coffee at the back. You mightn't get there. You don't know. So, you know, God provides, but we've got to have faith in him. We've got to put trust in him. And this is something that really annoys me about the Christian faith and about modern society is this. We believe that if something is not complicated, if something is simple, then it cannot be worth much. We complicate things. And only when we see something that's really complicated and forward-looking and all of that, we say, ah, that must be good. But our faith is the simplest thing on this earth. It's all about believing. Abraham believed his God. But we need to say to ourselves, do we believe truly? Not up here, but down here in our hearts. What do we have to believe to come away with that wonderful, or to experience eventually that wonderful gift of eternal life? You probably know it, but let me tell you it again. You've got to put your faith in God. You've got to believe he's the creator of the world. You've got to believe that he loves each and every one of you. You've got to believe that he loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus into this world. Because we do things wrong. When you do things wrong, you deserve to be punished, and God knew that. But he loved you so much, he said, no, I will send my son, and he will take your punishment. Do you believe that? Truly believe that? That he died for you as an individual? Do you believe that? If you do, then it means we must do something about it. And the first thing we've got to do is to confess our sins. We've got to acknowledge God as creator. We've got to accept Christ as Savior into our hearts. It's as simple as that. It is simple. So simple. But also means we must humble ourselves. Many churches nowadays, when it comes to prayer time, we don't do an act of humbling ourselves. And it's up to the individuals whether they do it or not. But it's nice, you know, in prayer if you get on your knees before your Creator, before your God, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am so sorry for what I have done. Please forgive me. And when we do that, when we mean it, when it comes from here and not just here, then he will forgive you. He will forgive you. Ask Christ then to come into our lives. Ask him to help us to go through this terrible, difficult journey with all its temptations, but to give us the strength. It. And when we are faithful to that, when our short life here on earth is ended, then we know that we will spend eternity in wonderful glory in the presence of the God that we've gathered here to worship today. And we will see him face to face in all his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the example of Father Abraham. We thank you for his faith, the faith which he put into you and the trust which he had for you. And we pray, Lord, that we too could even have just a little bit of that faith and that trust. And for those who are here this morning, oh Lord, who have not yet made that commitment, who have not accepted you as Lord and Savior, convict them, Lord. Help them to know that they need you. That this life is short and passing, and at the end of it, unless we have made that personal, life-changing commitment, we will be separated from you forever in that place which we call hell. So touch their hearts, O Lord. Convict them of their need for you and show them your love and help them to spread it into this world, this unbelieving world. In Christ's name, amen.